Jeremiah chapter 17, marvelous. At the end of this chapter, starting at verse 19, where we left off last week, this is a picture of the glorious blessings of the church. This is a picture that God has given Jeremiah. What a heavy brother he was, meaning that he was really close to the Lord. And God gave him visions here and things to say that match the church and the blessings of the church of Jesus Christ today. In these last verses of Jeremiah 17, let's read verses 19 through 22. Thus says the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye king of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves, or be careful with your life, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day. Man, did this verse come out and jump on my head and in my heart on Friday when I began doing my study for this sermon. Bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do you any work, but hallow, and hallow means to make holy. Remember in the Lord's Prayer it says, hallowed be thy name, holy is your name. But hallow you the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. And so this idea of bearing no burden. Well, God made this so real to me, and with a vision that he gave me of our church and the churches that love the Lord. And you know, I am so blessed and pleased with how you love the Lord. I can see it in your faces. I can feel it in your lives. And it is so blessed to be together with you. Every time we meet is a total blessing for me. It's my life. It's my whole life. It's what I live for, is to preach to you and to be loving you in Jesus. But as I read this verse, bear no burden on the Sabbath day, a song began to come to me that I sang the whole day with such great joy and release. Lay down your burden, I will carry you, I will carry you, my child, and the my child part is what I love the most. I am a son of the living God, and so are you. I'm his child. I belong to him. He has birthed me. I've been born again by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am to lay down my burden, bear no burden on the Sabbath day. This is why God created the seventh day in a week, that you might bring your burdens and lay them down. As you do no work, no work on the Sabbath day. Now, Sabbath day is different for everyone. The scripture says in Romans 14, one man esteems one day above another. Some say that the Sabbath day is Saturday, and some say the Sabbath day is Sunday. But there's others that esteem every day alike. And that was Pastor Chuck, and I always kind of aspired to that after he told us. I see every day the same. I worship Jesus. God's Sabbath rest every single day, and come before him and talk to him, and I'm close to him. But the Lord here reserves this day, this Sabbath day, that you can lay down your burden. Don't you do any work on the Sabbath day? And so many want to take that in the wrong way, the wrong way. But the right way came through that song for me that day. Lay down your burden. I will carry you. I will carry you. My child, my child. He wants your burdens. He wants the boulders to roll off your shoulders. He wants you to come and meet with your brothers and your sisters in Jesus and bring your burdens to lay before Him. Talk with others and receive a word, a personal word from God in one way, shape, or form on the Sabbath day, Sunday. You've chosen to come, to sit, to listen, to lay down your burdens. He wants you to do that every day. But this is a time with the body of Christ being together, and it's a vision that I had of the church of Jesus Christ. How God wants us here and wants us to bring our burdens, to just let them roll off our shoulders. And to just be blessed with that wonderful, wonderful presence of the living God. That peace that passes understanding. That's incomprehensible to us. The joy unspeakable and full of glory. And man, I began to just swirl around my living room with these scriptures and just sing that song louder and louder. Sherry said, I heard you singing all morning. And I said, I could not stop. I thought Kurt wrote this song. Last night, the Saturday night service, I said, Kurt, didn't you write this song? He said, no, Amy Grant wrote that. Says, we just sing it a lot here at Saturday night. And it just stuck with me. Well, Jesus said, Mark chapter 3, verse 27, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath day of rest was made for you. And we want to turn that around so often, and the Pharisees certainly did. The second part of that verse, he says, and not man for the Sabbath. Man was not made for the Sabbath. But the Sabbath was made for man to take away his burdens, to stop in the name of love and concentrate on Jesus. Zero in on him. And you know, that's what you do every Sunday morning. I see you out there and I appreciate you so much. You are such an attentive audience. Because we are simply reading the holy, wonderful, eternal Word of God. And you're reverent with it, and you want to hear it, and you want to see what's next. And God bless you for it. And I appreciate it so much as a pastor to see it in you. There's no rebukes for you today, sorry. It's just a blessing that you're here, and you came. And you're at church to lay down your burden. And God's so glad to take it. The Sabbath was made for you and not you for the Sabbath. When our first church first started out so many years ago, there was a sister that came to church for the first time with her daughter. And there's only about 30 of us then at our church. And she came from New York, and she had left her husband because her husband was a legalistic Sabbath day Christian in a denomination that disallowed his daughter to play on the Sabbath day. She had to sit still all day on a chair in the living room, and her clothes needed to be down to her ankles and down to her hands. And there were just legalistic things that were imposed upon this dear girl so much that the wife could not bear it another minute. And she took her daughter and fled and came to California. and came to church at our church, and I was preaching that day this very message about how the Sabbath is for us, to bless us and not to impose laws on people that were bondage things. The Jewish made up many laws, and they were not commandments of God. One of them was, you can't go more than a mile away from home on the Sabbath day. Ugh, what a burden that was. Can't go visit grandma. Everybody knows that over the woods and through the valley to grandma's house we go, right? Pumpkin pie and so forth. Yeah, what if she lives a mile and a half away? Well, can't do that. I'd like to lay this bondage on you. Can't go see grandma on the Sabbath day. Ridiculous things like that. And they turned it around, and they made it wrong. And they nullified the commandments of God by their traditions of men. Let's take all the traditions of men and gather them together and blow them up. And let's just go with the real law of God, the law of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus, and the freedom that we have in the Lord to enjoy the Sabbath day however God leads you to enjoy it. I love to go to the beach, man, and sit on the beach, and Sherry reads to me. I love it when she reads to me some book about the Lord. We're reading Brian's latest book now, and it's very good. Brian Broderson's latest book from Costa Mesa. It's a blessing. But you know, you rest before the Lord. That's what the Sabbath day is about. Now let me give you some Old Testament scriptures on this. Let's go to Exodus 23:12. Exodus 23:12. Gosh, I need to tell you the rest of the story, though. That husband was woken up by his wife, by her leaving him. He came to the Lord, and he became a Calvary Chapel pastor. And he is so immersed in the grace and the love of God now. I got to see him 20 years later at a funeral, and we had such a great time fellowshipping around the grace of God and him telling his story and his words of what a fool he was, actually, to share. But anyway, it's so good. Came to the Lord. They got back together. The daughter's as happy as a clam at high tide now. She can actually wear shorts on Sunday. Exodus 23:12. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and that the son of your handmaiden and the stranger, which is the visitors from different countries and different lands, may be, and I love this word, refreshed. That's the whole point. That the Sabbath was made for man to be refreshed. God knows you need to be refreshed. Did you know that the communists in Russia tried to change the week to an 8-day week, and it didn't work because it was too much on the people? People got all out of sorts and out of timing and so forth. They had to go back to 7 days. Why? Because that's what God ordained. God knows what you need. You can work 6 days, okay. On the seventh day, stop. Just stop and rest in the Lord. Let him take your burdens and all of your work that you do. And just be quiet before Jesus. Let's take a look at Exodus 31:16. It says, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant, something that God wanted to start and keep going. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days, take this in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. And on the seventh day he rested. And he was refreshed. And he wants you to be refreshed. He's made you in his image. You need to be refreshed. on the seventh day. Now, I can't leave this scripture right here. Again, we get the word refresh there. I love that word. Just always think Sabbath equals refreshing. And so here we see something about evolution. There are evolutionists that want to say that each day in Genesis 1 represents a billion years. Now, if that was true, then you'd have to work 6 billion years before you could rest. That's ridiculous. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. God created, as it says here, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. And on the seventh day he rested. And he compares this to the days we know. For he says to them that they should keep the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day, in day form, not in a billion year form. It's so clear. I don't know why they don't see that. Well, it's because they're looking at their own science thing deeper than they're looking at the Word of God. And they need to get back to the Bible. We never left. That's where we've been all the time. You know, I read this article once, Sherry and I together, in Reader's Digest about how the scientists are busy climbing the mountain of knowledge. And they climb and they climb and they climb, and one day they reached the pinnacle of the mountain. And they looked up on the top, and the theologians were all there waiting for them. And those are the people that study God. One day they'll find out all of these things that they've hocus-pocused and made up and falsely called science, as it says in the New Testament. It's a bunch of baloney, salami. The Lord did what he did. The Lord does what he does. And you know, to hear a real scientist that was an evolutionist and now a creationist because of what he sees in science is Dr. Kendall. And he's coming July 8th. Is that 2 weeks from now? Believe it is. Don't miss this. You'll be so sad if you miss this. And bring all of your friends and your scientific people and all those that might believe evolution, because this brother is really adept. And he has a whole new program. He does it with PowerPoint presentation. He's down to earth. You and I are normal. I think somebody once said that the only place that normal is a dryer setting. The rest of us try. But the thing is, I just love him. He's totally understandable. He's a blessed man. And he's coming to see us again. And we'll be just taking away one worship song and not having announcements that day. We'll just let him get going. He'll do both services on the 8th of July, so don't miss that one. Be there or be square, right? So here it is, and it's beautiful. So what do we see in the Old Testament here in Exodus? We see that God's intention for the Sabbath day is to refresh you with his own presence. The Bible says in the book of Acts that we're refreshed. How? By the presence of the Lord. And so when we come to church and just turn off the tube, and I won't say boob tube, but the implication is there sometimes, right? But just get on over to church. And I'm preaching to the choir now. I'm just appreciating you being here. But it's coming with your burdens. Laying your burdens down, stopping, just stopping and slowing down. Shabbat in the Holy Land is wonderful. For anyone that has been there on Shabbat in the Holy Land, starts at 6 o'clock on Friday and goes to 6 o'clock on Saturday. And they absolutely stop everything. And I am telling you, as you walk out in the streets on Shabbat in Israel, there's something like this that happens. and your spirit settles, and you feel the peace of stopping. You feel the peace of the closed shops. We went to lunch at King David Hotel on Shabbat, and I ordered a hamburger. What a mistake that was. I said, we don't cook on Shabbat. No. Would you like a salad? And people like me have pressured good people like them into stopping Shabbat stuff. But we never should. It's a good thing to stop. Slow down. Chuck Gerard wrote a song years ago called Slow Down, Slow Down. And in this song, there's a line, two lines that have totally blessed me through the years. The wind was low as you begin your slow down process. And the wind in your life becomes low. And he gave me his assurance. That assurance of pardon. That you belong to him because of his grace through the blood of Jesus becomes more real as you slow down to listen to the Lord. If you're gazing out on the ocean, or you're in a forest and seeing those beautiful redwood trees, or wherever you've had a slowdown moment, God is there. And he's saying, I assure you that you're going to heaven. I assure you with pardoning as you know him. And it's beautiful. So I love that line in that slowdown song. It goes, slow down. Slow down. And the wind was low. And he assured me and brought his assurance. And then the wind grows still. Be still and know that I am God. And the wind was still. And he touched me with his power. And that strong desire because of the fire that fell upon me. And that line just jumps me and jump starts me. And when you've spent a refreshing day with the Lord, when you have had that time of release and peace and you're singing a song all day to him and your heart is lifted up, man, the next day you spring out of bed with a spring in your step that you haven't known for a long time. Because you've had fellowship with the living God. And that's what it's like to go to church. To be with the brothers and the sisters in a real, live, living way. Because the rest of the whole chapter speaks of these things. And let's go back now to Jeremiah chapter 17 and get on with what happens next. Jeremiah and chapter 17, it says in verse 23, but they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. But that's them, not us. In verse 24, it says, it shall come to pass, if you diligently listen to the Lord, listen to me, says the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but to hallow, make holy the Sabbath day, to do no work therein. Then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes. And you know what? You look around right now, there's a lot of kings and princes sitting next to you today, because we're told in the book of Revelation very clearly that God has made us kings and priests unto Jesus Christ our Savior in the kingdom of God. You will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. If we suffer with him, we shall also rule with him. As he sat down in his Father's throne, he will also make you sit down with him in his throne. And we will help him administrate the kingdom, however he chooses to use you in doing that. And so right today, you are seated with kings and princes upon the throne of David. And who sits on the throne of David? Jesus Christ. And is he here? Jesus, are you here? If two or three or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He's right here. And he's the one that's teaching you. That's why it's so easy for me to just read the scriptures, because I'm not teaching you. Jesus is teaching you. His Holy Spirit does the teaching as his word is brought forth. He has ordained that to be true. And that's why you come back and sit still for an hour, whatever it is, every week. Because Jesus Christ is here to give you a personal word about your life. And he makes it so very real, doesn't he? The place of the church of Jesus Christ in gathering together in his name is so heavy that you can even receive in the nursery. It happened to me. I went to pick up my cousin's child from the nursery one morning. And I was looking at the pictures the kids made with the coloring books on the walls in the nursery. And there was a man with long, kind of longer hair, had his hand on his chin like this and his other hand in his pocket in his robe. And as I was looking at the pictures, that's what I was doing exactly. And it was like I looked in the mirror. This guy had, you know, I had long hair at the time, and my hand was on my chin, same hand as him. And my hand was in the pocket just like him. And the Lord spoke to me, because the caption said, "The man who loved things more than he loved Jesus." And my heart was smote. And the Lord began to speak to me about the certain car that I was in love with and idolizing and going through the manual every day, dreaming about the day that I could get that car. And the Lord wanted to deal with that in my life. And he did it in the nursery, because it's so heavy. The Spirit of God is so real at his church. You are going to receive a personal word from him every single time. And as your ears are up to hear from the Lord, he will speak to you. And it's a marvelous thing. I'm so glad I'm a pastor, because you know what? I've got to drag my carcass here every single week. And he knows I'm a weak person. And I need his strength. And I'm so thankful to him, because he does that so faithfully. Speak to me. Speak to you. Try the nursery out. Wherever God wants to, he'll speak to you. He can speak to you through a song, the worship team. He can speak to you from the scriptures. Of course, he does that all the time for us. But he can speak to you through the prince that is sitting next to you, or the princess. I just have it in my mind, and I've had it in my mind all week, certain sister here in the church. Well, I'll just say it's Shirley. Shirley, yeah, Shirley. So I saw Shirley talking with another woman a couple weeks ago, and it was just a beautiful thing to see as they were sharing problems and praying for each other, and it was really precious. And that happens all the time here. And it's because we understand each other, because we all go through the same things. We're human, and all things are common to man, and we need to be together to help each other. And this is what happens when kings and princes get together, and we are among the person that sits on the throne of David. And God is doing a blessed, wonderful thing. Lay down your burden. I will carry you. My child, we don't want to miss this. This is precious and wonderful and anointed, and God breathed and God spoken, and the reality of being together with his people is awesome. So let's read verse 26. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense. And here's where it lines up with you. And bringing sacrifices of praise. Sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. Now, these animal sacrifices that they used to bring represent what we have in Christ. He is the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for our sins and gave his life for us. And so the parallel that is given to us in the New Testament is right here at the end of verse 26, bringing sacrifices of praise. For we're told clearly in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, we're to bring to the Lord the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And you know what? When you and I come and the band is obedient to bring the praises, to lead you in praising God, you many times will be offering the sacrifice of praise because you don't feel like praising God. You just barely got your carcass out of bed and got over here. And you're going through such hard things in your life. How can you take time to praise God? But God knows you need to loosen up and give him the praise due his name because he knows that's going to lift you up. He inhabits the praises of his people, and you're going to be lifted and blessed with that. And so the band is forcing you to open your mouth and get a few notes out. Yeah, and sometimes it takes a while to loosen up. I mean, you know, you do the first song, you're going, what's the matter with you? Wake up. But all of a sudden, man, you start going, and after we have the word at the end, man, we're singing our hearts out to the Lord. And it's wonderful, and it's praise, and it's a sacrifice because you've had such a hard week. You need to come to the gas station and get filled up for facing the next week and all that comes our way. Because God knows it ain't easy. It ain't easy. The relationships aren't easy. Understanding everybody is impossible. For God to cause two people to dwell together in unity is a full-on miracle. But he does miracles, doesn't he? And we find ourselves back in our same pew by the grace of God. And he's here to coax some praise out of you, to get you back into thanking him for your life and thanking him for your wife and your husband or your lack of a husband or wife, to appreciate whatever state you find yourself in, to offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, and we need to do that because it makes us a well-rounded person. It makes us a person that is blessed of God. And without that, we shrivel up. And I've seen this. You know, I used to think as a pastor, I should never, you know, try to force people to come to church. But man, after being a pastor for 40 years now, you see what happens to people when they don't. You start hearing about divorces. You start hearing about horrible things. You go, whatever happened to that beautiful couple? What happened? Well, they started drifting away from church and the Lord and the things of God and listening to the Lord and getting into the things of money and houses and planes and trains and boats and pleasures and other gods. But if we listen and we come and we lay down our burdens at the feet of Jesus and allow the body of Christ to minister to us and encourage us and be accountable to each other, there's something magical that takes place. And it is too precious to let go and to not speak of it. Get up, get your person out of bed, and get over here to church, right? Do it, man. Pretend you're a pastor. Boy, I heard that on the radio station back in North Carolina when we were there. Of course, it's Billy Graham's land back there in North Carolina. And so there was this guy that woke up, and his mother said, "It's time for church. Get out of bed." And he pulls his covers up to his eyes. He says, "I can't go today." I said, "Why can't you go to church today? Nobody likes me over there." He says, "No, that can't be true. You got to get up and just go." He says, no, I can't. I don't feel like it today. I just want to stay here and not think about it." She said, "Look, you're the pastor. Get up." And man, I laughed and laughed over that one because that's exactly what I was becoming, right? And you know, sometimes it's even hard for the pastor. But you got to go. You got to honor the Sabbath. Your Sabbath, whatever that is, you go with God, you find the Lord, you let the burdens roll off your shoulders. Do not be a communist and make an 8-day week or a 3-month week. Show up to church every 3 months or something, you know. Life is precious. Going with God is precious. Understanding God's will for your life is precious. And getting a word from the Lord is precious. And so we go with that. And we ask for that. And God will meet you how you need to be needed and will say the word that you need to hear because of his great love. And I love Jeremiah. I love Jeremiah taking the time to do this. Verse 27, "But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not bear the burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." And it's just death without the Lord. It's death without the body of Christ. It's death without the design that God has given to maintain you. It's just death. We need each other. We need Jesus Christ so much. And we need to lay down the burdens and let him carry us because we're his child. And he knows what you need. And here you are, you precious ones. I love seeing you and seeing in your eyes that love for God and that tenderness and reverence before him because God is on your side. Yay. I love that. Yay. That's a neat yay. And I love all of the different things that you do and say and how you are. It's a precious thing to God. It's a precious thing to one another. And so we go on, right? Helping each other, strengthening each other, receiving words from God for one another. And sometimes you don't even know that it's a word from God, but the other person does. And they're thankful they've heard something from God for them today. It's blessed. Well, let's pray. Let's just pray together right now. So, Father, thank you so much for Jeremiah. Lord, I thank you so much for this vision that came forth. For without a vision, the people perish. And, Lord, we're not perishing. We are so thankful we're not perishing. But you're giving us new life and helping us along the way. And you're making life real for us. And Lord God, we want to pray that you would give every single person in this sanctuary today, Lord, a personal word from you to encourage them to be lifted up and strengthened in your way. Thank you, Father, that we can lay down our burdens because you'll carry us, because we are your child. We belong to you. Thank you, Father. We bless you now. Thank you for this provision that you've brought to us. And thank you that we can walk in it. And we're so wonderfully thankful for Jesus, our Savior, that's created this whole picture, these examples from the Old Testament, reaching into the New. Thank you so much, Lord, that we're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is the pattern of some. But, Lord, being together in you, especially as the day gets closer of your coming. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And then Connie's giving you the offering hand of fellowship to come to the prayer room if you would like. And we do have free Bibles there to remember that. Always want to give you the Word of God free of charge, because he gave us his body free of charge. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we want to give you the Word of God freely. You've given, freely receive. It's just so great. So God bless you. God just give you the most mighty week. And may the Lord speak personally to your heart in such a way that you will be thrilled again to know him and his great love for you. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.